appreciation for his mother's love. And so even during the last days of his aging mother's life, he carried out his business right by her bedside. And David kept writing his mother even after he became a big boy in the army. In fact, we once swiped a top secret directive to order a Mother's Day card he sent to her. John always thought of his mother during any crisis during his life and often consulted with her. Well, who were all of these mama's boys? Who were these men who had such a close relationship with their mother? Here are the names of the folks that I just told you about their relationship with their mother. James Garfield, Teddy Roosevelt, William Taft, Woodrow Wilson, Franklin, Roosevelt, Harry Truman, Dwight Eisenhower, and John F. Kennedy. Each one of these men could readily agree that they owed a huge debt of gratitude to their mother for the success in their life. Their mothers provided them with encouragement, affirmation, love, and support. The two greatest things that a mother can do for her children is to provide them with a firm foundation of faith in Jesus Christ, and also provide them with genuine affirmation and encouragement and support and love. Today, we want to look at this topic, going from the basement to the balcony. You see, the first point I want to bring out is that there are basically two types of people in the world. There are basement people and balcony people. Now, I believe I mentioned this to you in a previous sermon a couple of years ago. Joyce Landor wrote a wonderful book called Irregular People. And in this book, she talks about the fact that basement people are always trying to pull others down in life. They are full of criticisms and negativisms and cynicism. Expressions that basement people often use are, "You'll never be able to do that," or "That's the silliest thing I've ever heard of," or "You'll never amount to anything in life," or "Why can't you get your act together?" Or, "Why can't you ever be good?" or "You are hopeless," or "You drive me crazy," and the list goes on and on. The world is filled with basement people, people who have cellar voices. People are always trying to bring others down to their own low level of self-esteem and loneliness and heartache. We meet basement people in all walks of life. Maybe our boss at work is a basement people for us. Or maybe a close friend is a basement person. Or maybe a fellow church member is a basement person. I hope not. Maybe a close relative is a basement person. Or maybe our child is a basement person. Or maybe our mother or father is a basement person for us. Joyce Landor has another name for a certain group of these basement people. In fact, this is the whole focus of her book entitled Irregular People, and that's the name that she has for this category of basement people, irregular people. These irregular people are close friends or immediate family members who serve as basement people in our lives. These folks have a dramatic impact on our lives because of the close relationship that we have with them and because we are with them on a regular basis. And a regular person could be a spouse who continually criticizes you, or an irregular person could be a father or mother who puts you down all the time or ignores you most of the time, or an irregular person could be a brother or sister who makes life miserable for you. Your irregular person never gives any praise or affirmation. Regular people do not listen to your real needs and your problems and concerns, and they don't share love with you in practical ways that really matter. Joyce says that she knows a mother who must have a really low self-esteem because she has the cutest little boy who acts like a normal boy, but the mother continually calls him a bad boy to his face. She is always criticizing him in public and scolding him and saying to him, "You're so bad." Of course, this cute little boy eventually started living up to his mother's expectations. Joyce Landor tells about an irregular father who was told by many people that his daughter was exceptionally talented in music and piano. However, he never attended any of her recitals or musicals, even after she had made several albums and had succeeded in her profession. His only comment to her was, "You should hear Mrs. Brown play the piano because she can really play." Then there was the irregular mother. to her Christmas dinner at her son and daughter's house, son and daughter-in-law's house. She didn't bring any food or she didn't contribute any assistance with the meal whatsoever. However, as soon as she surveyed the wonderful meal on the table, her only comment was a wine. Don't you have any plain red jello? Who says that? The regular people are simply basement people who have a close relationship with you. Therefore, that keeps you from avoiding their criticisms. It keeps you from avoiding their put-downs and their complaints. In a Peanuts cartoon strip, Charlie Brown is talking with Lucy, and she's telling him about her Cinderella daydream, how she would love to be a princess at the ball. Then Charlie Brown says, well, I guess we all have our little daydreams and ambitions in life. And Charlie goes on to say, I've had one for years, but I've never told anyone. And Lucy begs Charlie to tell her and insists that she will keep it a secret. So he confides in her that he always wanted to be called Flash and to be an athlete and to be a star on the football team. In the next scene, we see Lucy running off to tell Violet the crazy ambition that Charlie has. And they both burst out laughing at the thought of Flash Brown. Charlie walks off mumbling to himself, I can't stand it. You see, Lucy was serving as a basement person, attacking Charlie's self-esteem, making fun of him, putting him down, laughing at him. Actually, the temptation to be a basement person begins in early childhood. In fact, children will naturally be basement people unless we teach them to do the opposite. We have to train children to be balcony people. Sin comes naturally to us. We're all sinful. James Dobson, who actually just died a few days ago, he wrote a book entitled Hide or Seek, in which he emphasizes how our society so brutally crushes the self-esteem of people. For instance, children can be so cruel by tacking nicknames on their friends. The boy with protruding teeth would be Bucky Beaver, or the overweight child is called Porky, or the thin girl becomes Bird Legs, and the list goes on and on. This may seem like harmless fun, but these playful put-downs can be so devastating to the fragile self-esteem of a child or even of an adult. The person who is the object of the joke might be laughing on the inside, on the outside, but on the inside they are filled with pain and rejection. Mother Teresa won a Nobel Peace Prize for her work on ministering to the poor in Calcutta, India. And she once said, I'm quoting, during those 20 years of work among the people, I have come more and more to realize that being unwanted is the worst disease any human being could ever experience. Basement people make us feel that we are unwanted and unloved. The Apostle Paul said, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And Paul would say to us today, don't be conformed to the basement person mentality. Don't be critical of others. Don't be judgmental. Don't be negative. Don't pull other people down. Don't destroy the self-esteem of others. Rather, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Paul would say, be a balcony person. Of course, a balcony person is just the opposite of the basement person. A balcony person leans over the railing of your life and calls out to you, you can do it. You can make it. I've got confidence in you. I'll stand with you. I'll cheer you on. It's so great to have balcony people in your life. It makes life so much more fun and fulfilling and challenging and enjoyable. Listen to the Apostle Paul, one of the greatest balcony people of all time, as he writes to his close friends at the church at Philippi in Philippians 1. He says, every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my request for all of you with joy, for you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. So it is right that I should feel as I do about you, for you have a special place in my heart. You share with me the special favor of God, both in my imprisonment and in defending and confirming the truth of the good news. God knows how much I love you and long for you with the tender compassion of Christ Jesus. It's easy to see the affirmation in Paul's words, the encouragement, the devotion, and the love that he has for his friends at the church of Philippi. Thomas Edison, the great inventor, once wrote these words, and I'm quoting him. I did not have my mother long, but she cast over me an influence which has lasted all my life. The good effects of her early training I can never lose. If it had not been for her appreciation and her faith in me at a critical time in my experience, I should never likely have become an inventor. I was always a careless boy, and with a mother of different mental caliber, I should have turned out badly. But her firmness, her sweetness, her goodness were potent powers to keep me in the right path. My mother was making the case of me. The memory of her will always be a blessing to me. You see, Thomas Edison's mother served as an important balcony person in his life. She provided him with encouragement and love and support and affirmation. We need more balcony people in the world. Mothers and fathers who will affirm and encourage their children. Church members who will pull for one another. Spouses who will bring out the best in their significant other. Christians who will be ministers of affirmation to people who live in a negative, cruel world. But secondly, let's notice that the Bible and the world are filled with examples of both types of people. In a country church in a small European village, an altar boy serving the priest at a Sunday mass accidentally dropped the chalice of wine. And the village priest struck the boy sharply on the head and in an angry voice commanded, "Leave this altar and don't ever come back." Later, this boy became Marshal Tito, the ruthless communist leader of Yugoslavia. In another cathedral in the large church, an altar boy serving the bishop at a Sunday mass accidentally dropped the chalice of wine also. And with a warm twinkle in his eye, the bishop gently whispered, "Someday you will be a priest." And later, that boy became Bishop Fulton Sheen. You see, there is a difference between basement people and balcony people and the impact they have on the lives of other people. And you can just see the consequences so often in the lives of people. One boy heard the voice of a basement person at a critical time in his life when he was in that church, and he rejected the church, rejected his faith, rejected God, and ended up causing great harm to the world. The other boy heard the encouraging word of a balcony person and ended up using his life in the work of the Lord. The Bible is literally filled with illustrations of both types of people. The basement people in the Bible include folks like the scribes and the Pharisees so often, unfortunately. You see, they placed heavy burdens on people. They were highly judgmental of others. They looked down on others and criticized them if they weren't doing it right. There was Judas. He criticized Mary Magdalene for pouring the expensive oil on the feet of Jesus. He became disgruntled with Jesus and ended up betraying Jesus. There was Martha. She criticized Mary for not assisting with the meal, even though Mary was visiting with Jesus at the time. And then we go all the way back, and there's Adam and Eve. They began the whole basement person mentality by passing the blame of their sin onto someone else. So there are many, many examples of basement people in the Bible. Fortunately, there are also many examples of balcony people in the Bible. Barnabas, one of my favorites, his name means son of encouragement. Every time we read about Barnabas in the book of Acts, he's living up to his name. He's encouraging others, affirming others, and supporting other people. There's the Apostle Paul. His letters are filled with encouragement and affirmation. In 1 Thessalonians 1, 2, and 3, he says, "We always thank God for all of you and pray for you constantly. As we pray to our God and Father about you, We think of your faithful work, your loving deeds, and the enduring hope you have because of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's just one of many illustrations of the Apostle Paul's encouragement to the folks that he was writing to. Of course, Jesus is the best example of a balcony person. He says, he looks at us, he looked at the disciples in his day, says, "You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden." And Jesus says in John 15, "This is not my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You're my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends since I've told you everything the Father told me. You didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command, love each other." Jesus affirmed the Samaritan woman at the well by talking with her, asking her for a drink of water, taking her seriously, being sensitive to her problems. A great balcony person action. Jesus affirmed Zacchaeus, you know, who was a tax collector in the tree in Jericho. But Jesus picked him out of the crowd and told him he was going to come to his house for dinner that day. It's interesting that the only people that Jesus dealt with sternly were the basement people, the religious leaders in this case in the New Testament, people who built their lives on being judgmental and critical of others. Of course, the ultimate affirmation to us is that Jesus was willing to die on a cross so that we might have eternal life. That's the ultimate affirmation of all time. But thirdly, let's notice that it is a challenge to deal positively with basement people. Unfortunately, we will all have some basement people in our lives. So how do we deal with these negative, critical people? Well, let's just list a few ways that we need to deal with the basement people. First of all, we need to always be affirming with them. Don't let basement people drag you down to their own negative level of criticisms and put-downs. It is so easy for us to want to respond to basement people with the same attitude that they had towards us. That just is kind of natural for us. But don't do it. Don't fall into that trap. Be positive and affirming with them as much as possible. This is the right thing to do, and hopefully your positive attitude will help them to change their ways eventually. Paul says in Ephesians 4:29, "Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words may be an encouragement to those who hear them." That's a very balcony personal thing to do. But secondly, confront basement people in a positive way whenever the criticisms go over the line. Whenever they cross the line with the criticisms, then you can't just let that go. You need to confront them in a positive way as possible. Jesus said in Matthew 18:15, that if another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. If the other person listens and confesses it, you have won that person back. You have to determine when a basement person has crossed the line and gone too far in being critical with you. When this happens, then you need to confront that person in a positive way and make them aware of their negative attitude. For some people, this positive confrontation will be all that they need in order to change their attitude with you specifically. Most basement people will not be able to see their problem and will be very defensive. So maybe you'll have to use positive confrontation on a regular basis with them. But again, when they cross the line on going overboard with their negativity with you, there's some point where you need to just be confronted in a positive way. And it might be that with that person, you need to be confronted on a regular basis with them. And then thirdly, need to pray for the basement person. Pray for them. This is the most powerful and the most effective thing that you can do for a basement person. Really, only God can change their attitude and their approach to life. Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, so we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of His will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. That's a powerful passage of Scripture. But fourthly, keep the proper perspective with the basement person. Remember, God loves you. Don't let the basement person convince you that you're not loved by anyone just because they express that occasionally, or they express negative feelings towards you or negative things about you on a regular basis. Don't let that make you think that nobody cares for you or nobody loves you. Just remember that it's a problem that the other person has. It's not your problem. The most important thing in all the world is remember that God loves you. God created you for a purpose. He has a plan for your life. Let your self-esteem be based upon your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the important thing. Not based upon your relationship with a basement person or an irregular person. Someone who's going to be critical of you all the time and putting you down and saying that you don't amount to anything or whatever, replying that. Don't let your self-esteem be based upon what that person says. The Bible says, for God loved the world so much that He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. So, fourthly, and finally, develop the habit of being a balcony person. Develop the habit of being a balcony person. The most important thing that you can do this morning is to examine your own life and make sure that you're not a basement person or an irregular person for one of your own family members or friends. If you are a mother or father, make sure that you're serving as a balcony person for your children, no matter how old they are. Make sure that you're cheering them on in life. Make sure that you're providing positive encouragement and support for them each and every day. Make sure that you're encouraging them to fulfill their hopes and dreams in life. Make sure that you're praying for them each and every day. Pray that God's grace will fill their hearts and lives. If you have a mother or father who is still alive, make sure that you are a balcony person for your parents. Also, if you have children and grandchildren, make sure that you are a balcony person for them. The Bible says in Ephesians 4, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God has forgiven you. It is so easy to find in the Bible, especially in the New Testament, a focus on providing encouragement and love and support for one another. That's almost in every page of the New Testament, we find that commendation, that encouragement from God's Word. And so we may not have the personality type of doing that on a regular basis, but now is a great time to start. We can start doing that by practicing it on a regular basis, by intentionally practicing it, so that it becomes just a natural thing for you to do with other people. So that providing encouragement and hope and a positive input to another person's life is just a normal thing that you do with them on a regular basis. And if you tend to be more negative and critical in your approach, then that's something that you can work on at any age. We need to just catch ourselves when we start to do that. Or maybe have somebody, a friend or spouse or somebody, just kind of call it to our attention when we're doing that. Because a lot of times if we're in the habit of that, we do it without really realizing that it's occurred, because it's just kind of a habit pattern. So have someone kind of bring it to your attention so that you can catch yourself and then learn. Because we can all learn to share God's love and encouragement more effectively. But for all of us, it's something, it's a learned behavior that we have to have. Again, we all have sin in our life, and none of us do it perfectly. And so we all need to learn to be better in this matter. So strive to be a valiant person, encouraging people on to victory in life. And make sure that you're not a basement person that's pulling other people down and tearing other people down. And so often we do that without knowing it, because we're trying to put ourselves up, to tell you the truth. And that is not something that God wants us to do. It's not something that we would do when we have a Christ-like spirit. It's something that is a very practical thing that we can live out in our everyday lives. But it's something that's very important and powerful with your families, groups of close friends, within church families. And so let's work on that beginning this week. Let's bow together with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for Jesus Christ, who loved us so much that he came into the world and was willing to give his life for us. And we just thank you so much for that. We thank you that you raised him from the dead to prove your power over sin and death and hell. And help us just to put our faith and trust in Jesus. And each and every day, help us to renew that faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And Lord, we just pray that we will examine our heart and just make sure that we're more like Jesus and more like Barnabas in being a valiant person than we are the opposite. Help us, Lord, to be an encourager to others, that even if that hadn't been our pattern in the past, we know that we can start that today with your power and with your strength and the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we can make a huge difference in the lives of family members and friends if we pour on encouragement and hope and love and concern for them and so forth. So Lord, help us to do that. And we just pray your blessings on us. Help us to minister for you with your love each and every day. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.